You're listening to The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, Tasmania's largest independent pop culture retailer. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Good evening, everybody. It is indeed The Dice Men Cometh on this, the Thursday, the 15th of February, for episode 201. Yes, on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, proudly brought to you by our good friends at Area 52. We're here to talk to you about all the board games, all the card games, all the fun games you can play in general. But before we do that, lads, a few hours ago, I was in the supermarket. I was buying the ingredients for my vegetarian lasagna because I am a better person than both of you.
Already switched off. Already switched off.
Just put that out there. Definitely a better person.
Vegetarian lasagna.
Yeah.
Right.
Anywho.
Continue.
So I was walking along with my trolley, and then all of a sudden, this old-ish lady put her hand on the side of my trolley and kind of walked with me for like 2 metres or so, kind of pushing me in the right direction. And then I heard this voice from behind me say, "Nan!" And then she stopped, looked at me, looked behind her and saw, oh, that's not my grandson's trolley I've been holding on to. She turned bright red straight away, put her hand over her mouth and went, "Oh, God, I'm so sorry." And I went, "It's fine, love, relax." And I said, "Don't worry, I've got a childlike face." And she was between the red face and laughing, just the really high pitch, she just went, "You do!" And then walked around the corner and never saw him again.
Oh, dear.
So, anyway, I just thought I'd put a lovely story into somebody's head. The listener, it is. Not you two, I don't care about you.
No. Thank you so much.
At least it's
so
not a
much,
vegetarian lasagna recipe, because that would have been just boring.
Not interested in that one.
Now, we'll share that next week.
Yep. Garth?
Hello.
What have we got coming up tonight?
We have got, and this is, I am reading from Mark's notes, an opening on the show. So, Tick, we have done that.
Oh, I've got an opening. One of you two leaving.
Yeah. Oh, ooh. We're then going to talk about what we have been playing this week, which is kind of true. We haven't played anything this week because I've been gallivanting away.
It was a week and a bit.
It was a week and a bit. We are talking about War of Supremacy.
Oh.
Which is a game that not too many people will know about yet because it doesn't exist yet in the mainstream. But it
super
will
tease.
Hopefully. We then have another what we've been playing, and we'll see whether we get to it.
Yeah.
Because, Mark, we all know that Leon has a tendency to not shut up.
Yes.
Yeah. I am going to tell you a little bit about my recent time away over the last couple of nights, because there was one very special evening that I had that I want to share with you guys. Mark, you got some news?
I have got some news.
And, of course, yes. Although we have already got entries, so we could give it away right now, we want to talk about our BorderCon competition.
Oh, yes.
So that we get more entries and more opportunity for people to send us emails and to connect with us and to give us some awesome entries to a BorderCon competition, which we'll talk about probably at the start, maybe tap it out at the end so that it's constantly in everyone's brain.
Absolutely. And look, the only other thing that I want to say, lads, is thanks so much to the amazing listeners, fans, hangers-oners who've given us some awesome feedback on how awesome we were and how awesome all of our special guests via audio clip were in our 200th show. We had so much fun doing that show. We're not going to do another one like that for at least another 200 episodes.
No, 2 hours is a long time to be in a room with
you
guys.
We'll consider doing it for 300, but we, you know, maybe.
But I love that everyone appreciated so much and gave us some really great feedback. So thank you to everyone who's been listening. Thank you to our amazing sponsor, Area 52. Get in there and spend some dollars on games, comics, manga, Funko Pop, vinyl things and everything else you can. And we'll come back and talk about War of Supremacy soon. That was FEWS with Goosebumps, and I've got Goosebumps here in the studio of Edge Radio 99.3 FM, because I'm one of the Dice Men here on episode 201, sponsored by our amazing sponsor, Area 52. Thank you so much for all your support here in Hobart at 102 Elizabeth Street, or 104. It's quite big. It probably takes up both spots.
The big yellow one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now, Garth.
Hello.
We played a game recently that probably almost none of our other listeners would ever have heard of, would ever have played.
Except a couple of board game designers hanging around in Sydney.
Ah.
Because we are talking about a game that is designed by a Sydney-based designer. And the game in question is War of Supremacy. The designer in question is one Nathan Everett, or Evie. as he might be called, or Natho.
Natho.
He might not be. He might just be Nathan Everett or Nath. Mr. Everett.
Nath.
Don't know. Now, this game by Nathan's company, Lost Treasure Games, is currently not out yet and he's currently only a mere, let's call it, a week away at the time of broadcast before it goes live on this website known as Kickstarter. Woo. I'll fill you in on that too. But what is this game? Well, this game is all set in the world of Malor, which is filled with mythical races, breathtaking lands, amazing creatures and mesmerising magic, and it's being torn apart. I know. The gods, who were once long ago working in unity to bring the world together, are now all bastards, basically.
They're crazy.
They're all fighting each other. They all want to be, the one that controls everything, kind of like the dynamics in this room from time to time. And we are one of the newer gods. We must strategically try and use the creatures that are on our side and the spells that we know how to use to basically dominate and take over territories.
Mm.
That's what you're trying to do. You are trying to, not surprisingly, with the name of this game, have a war of supremacy that you win.
Sounds good.
How do you do it? Well, it's a free-for-all. It is a King of the Hill-style, magic-y, Hearthstone-y fantasy card game where everyone just ostensibly and realistically wants to lay some smack down on those poor creatures and those spell cards that are not the ones that you control. It's pretty quite simple. There's going to be two main decks of cards that you use. There's going to be a creatures deck and there's going to be a spells deck. And those decks are made up of up to four factions in any game. So the way a game's going to start is you're going to choose the factions, one for each player, plus there's a mercenary faction, which are not aligned to anybody. They're just in it for the cold, hard dollary-doos.
Yes.
You'll mush up all the creature decks and you'll mush up all the spell decks from the various factions, create the two decks, deal out some to get the game going, and you're all ready. You'll then flip over a territory. Now, there are about 15 different territories that you're all fighting for. These are different lands, different regions within the world of Malor.
Very similar to Smash Up in that respect.
Very similar to Smash Up. And that's what you're going to be fighting over. And the territories sometimes will have unique abilities that, will affect the core gameplay of that particular territory. Or they might just count as a cold, hard victory point, which they all do. They're all a victory point, but some don't have any special unique abilities, and that's all right, because it's kind of like Tasmania. Some territories are just okay being boring. Now, the way a game's going to go is that there are three different types of combat form in this particular game, and the different factions all have different strengths and different weaknesses. So you might have the wild form, you might have the magic form, and you might have the blade form. Now, when you start this game, you flip over the territory and you know what you're fighting over. You then flip over one of the combat form cards, of which there are about 15 or so, and they will have one magic form or two or three, and that is going to be the one that you're going to be using to all win this particular territory. So I flip one over and it says magic, and we all look at our cards, we all look at our creatures and we go, oh, I've got a gorilla and he's got four magic strength. He might be okay.
Yeah.
Now, each of the creatures have the three different types of magic on them, but they'll have different, I guess, numbers in each of them to say whether they're strong or weak in a particular discipline.
Yeah, and mostly when you look at it, if you've got a knight or something, well, they're probably going to have pretty much all of their magic in the, all of their strength in the war form. If it's a gorilla, they're probably likely to have that sort of that raging, tearing animal strength.
Yep.
But sometimes there'll be a bit of a mix of each. And look, there's a huge variety of races and animals and characters and stuff. And I'm going to get in early.
Okay.
The art of this game. Now, I know Nathan has got a heap of different artists.
Yeah. Do you want to pronounce all of their names?
No.
Me neither.
None of them.
Because he's certainly scoured all of what seems to be an Eastern European world searching for artists. And look, it does look bloody attractive when you put it down on the table. The art really pops.
Yeah, some really beautiful art.
And despite lots of different artists, it all works well together.
Yeah.
It's not that jarring thing of, ooh, this looks nowhere near what the rest of the cards in my hand.
I would have certainly thought that one or two artists had done all the art on this. So I wasn't looking going, oh, yeah, it's got that magic vibe where you got one card and you got another card and they have no resemblance to each other, and clearly it's been done by a thousand different people. It doesn't look like that at all. So kudos for the whoever's done the art management, because I think it all suits, it fits really well together.
Yeah, exactly right. So it looks fantastic when it's on the table, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, are you going to see a lot of these cards in any given game?
Yeah.
Because you are going to be churning and churning and churning through these cards. So the way a turn works, pretty straightforward. I want to hold a territory from the start of my turn all the way through to the start of my next turn.
A la King of Tokyo.
If I manage to do that, hey guys, I am in charge of that territory. I take it. That counts as my victory point, and happy days. Now, in a game, you might only be fighting for two or three territories, which doesn't sound like a lot, but this game has that element of chaos, and it has certainly a degree of luck involved, where trying to get even two territories becomes a game that will go for up to an hour and a half, potentially. And we were playing a game where the recommended was to play for three territories. Had a chat to Nathan about that and just said, look, it just went on and on and on. So I think he's doing a little bit of a revision in that, which I think will make the game snappier, especially at the higher player counts. Because, look, it is a two-player game. It goes up to five as well. But I think this kind of game, it's more about the interplay between multiple players. Two players, look, it'd be fun, but there's plenty of two-player card games out there that may or may not have been around for a while and involve some form of magic.
Yeah.
So I think play it with three, four, five is my personal choice.
Yeah, I would have thought, like, we played it with three. I thought three, it worked really, really well. If you, and four, we played it with four, it went really well. I think if you go too high, then you're going to have that problem of, because you other people can play spells into the mix, although they can't play creatures, you get that sort of munchkin-y thing of stacks on the mill. Oh, it looks like Garth's going to win this one. Let's all throw in.
Yeah.
And even at the higher player count, because it takes a bit longer, five players, you'll probably be looking at, an hour and a half, maybe even a bit further. That's when you start getting into the thing of, well, that's all well and good, and it's not, and, you know, the game's all well and fun, but if there's five of us and we're here for happily be here for 2 hours, that's when you go, why don't we whip out a Eldritch Horror and stuff like that? Yeah. So he's starting to compete with that stuff with those
players. That's true. So what he's got is he's got a 2v2 version that's out as well.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be interesting to see, having not played that, how that plays out. So anyway, my turn. We've got a territory. I want to try and defend it. Now, if I'm the starting player in a round, I basically have to set the tone because no one's defending the territory yet. So I start it. I look at the territory. I look at the combat form and I go, okay, well, I'm defending the mists of blah, blah, blah island or whatever it's called, and the combat form is magic. I look at my cards and I will have a combination of creatures and cards from all factions, but I need to be able to play creatures in two particular ways. I either need to play the same faction, of which there are five, I believe, so I can play any creatures that are in the same faction, or I can play any of the same creature type, whether it be a beast or a fey or an archer or a something else. They've all got to have the same keyword on them.
Hmm.
And that's something that is really, really important to remember because we forgot it. Yep. And it's just something I want to make sure that we're aware of because you have a whole series of cards in your hand, but you really need to just whittle down to what is going to be your strength. Now, once you've figured out the cards that you're going to use, you obviously want to consider what their strengths are in the combat form that is being used in this particular territory.
We did forget that rule the first time we played
correct.
It. We have played it proper since.
We sure have.
And got that rule correct.
Yes.
Just wanted to put that out there.
Correct. Now, the five factions all have different strengths and weaknesses. So you've got the Ancients faction. Now, basically, they have strength in resources and time. And the main mechanics of that are drawing more cards into their hand, making the opponents discard cards from theirs. You've got the Arcane faction, which is a faction of gnomes, or gnomes as they are known. Their main strength lies in magical abilities, abilities to cast spells of devastating damage and other uses in very gnomic fashion.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Depths of the Atlans. Now, these are the merfolk, the mer people. Now, this is the fifth faction, and I don't know whether that'll be in the base game or not.
Oh, yeah.
Nathan will be able to clarify that.
Because that's one we didn't play with.
We haven't played with that one yet. They're going to be able to manipulate the battlefield with movement and change, which basically disrupts and changes the players a bit more, the resources and the creatures that are in combat. You've got Man, Boring Old Man. the guards that live in naivety and just saying, there's no such thing as magic, it's just men. basically, they lie in their defence and banding together.
Mm-hmm.
So once they're in a defensive position, i.e. defending a territory, they potentially can be bloody hard to beat. And then you've got the la-di-da green and fluffy sylvan faction. So they're your fairies and your elves and your nymphs and all of those.
And a lot of, they seem to remember they had a lot of animals and things
like
that.
Yeah, so they lie, their main strength is just the number of cards that they are able to draw from.
Yep.
And they have various casters that can summon really powerful creatures to the battlefield. These additional kind of ent-like creatures as well that can really change the tide of battle. So they're your five main factions. But the good thing is, everyone's going to have a chance to play them. So it's not just, Mark, you're the gnomes, and you can only play gnome cards, and I'm the merpeople, so I can only play those. Everyone gets to play them. So it is really always changing, and you're constantly looking at the cards for the art, which is great, but also for the unique abilities that each of the creatures and each of the spells have.
Mm.
Yeah, and the spells especially are a thing that, depending on the condition on it, you'll be able to play it. Some you can play on your turn, but most of them you can play on other people's turns to kind of disrupt them and whatever else. One of the main ones being, as we've talked about before, the form that you're going after. You can then change that, which just destroys. Someone could put out a big power 18 of big war machines that are all about swords and killing, and you could just go, I'm just going to change the battle form to magic, and they have, your 18 has now become a 2. And that is hilarious.
Yeah,
and, except when it's you.
Yeah.
And to me, like, that is the wrinkle that, you know, when people say, well, it's just another magic clone, to me, that is the wrinkle that really changes this to being something that's worth a look at. I mean, I used to play a lot of the Game of Thrones LCG. And on those cards, they have three different types of sort of attacking ability, but you only pick one and you do that particular attack. They had war, intrigue and prestige. And you pick the one that you're attacking with. The other person defended against that same one. You could never really, and look, maybe there's some special card abilities, but you couldn't really swap it around. Whereas this, as you said, you know, you think you've got 18 there of war power, and all of a sudden it's magic and you've got nothing.
Correct.
And you've got to basically try a whole new strategy. The fact that you can change it with spells, you can change it with creatures, you've got some creatures that have more than one form they can use and others you don't. To me, that is the wrinkle that makes this game really, really interesting and lots of fun.
Exactly. So it makes it so much more chaotic and fun. And that's great if you like that style of game. This is not a game for your hardcore, heavy strategy, no luck people. Go and play something else.
Yeah.
If you want to laugh and have a lot of fun and go, oh, I'm about to win, and then someone plays a spell and just demolishes you, it's very much like Carnage in that respect.
Yes.
In that, in Carnage, you'll have a fight where your whole tableau of cards is destroyed, and that's in essence what is happening here, where your strength of 18 or 19 in the wild form is just destroyed to one or two in the magic. It's essentially your army is just out of here.
Yeah, so the swings can be quite severe, but they do make it entertaining. Like, for instance, there was somebody that was holding one of the cities, I can't remember what it was, and they had like a 10 sword power or something. Somebody changed that to be like, oh, I'm going to change it to magic. And I looked at my hand and went, I've got two archers here that are magic that add up to like 10. And then I played a spell which let me steal two cards from you, Garth.
Yes, thank you very
at
much.
At random, mm-hmm. And they were both archers, both magic, and it added up to 20. And one thing we didn't mention, that if you have enough power in your hand to put out a band that has a power of 20 in the current form, you can take that city that you're going after instantly.
Yeah, the territory is just yours.
If nobody else can stop you with their spells, which they probably will most of the time.
But it's just good fun.
Yeah, it's good.
And that's the main thing I want to stress in this game, is that it is certainly not the most tactical and the most strategic, and it's always about making the most of the cards that is in your hand.
Yeah.
Now, in saying that, you've got given a very generous hand limit of up to 10 cards, and in fact, you can have more. You can draw cards at the end of your turn as long as you don't have 10 cards in your hand. So you can have 9 cards and draw 2 cards.
Mm.
Or if you choose not to attack and you've got 9 cards, you can draw 3 cards and end up with a hand of 12. It's a lot of cards.
It's a very interesting take on the hand limit rule, which in 90% of games is, this is your hand limit, end of story. Correct. And I thought, well, we'll make it a little bit interesting. And just that alone is, you know, something pretty cool.
Exactly. So look, there's not much more to this game. You play your cards with the strength that you can in the magic form that's on the table, and then you basically hope that the players around the table can't get that strength to beat yours, or if they can, you've got spells to counteract it. Now, the good thing is if it's been my turn and I'm defending and it's Leon's turn, no other players can play creatures. That's up to Leon.
Yeah.
But every player can play spells that will affect both of the possibilities, because Leon might be about to win and we can play spells to screw him over. Or I might be about to win as the defender and you can screw me over so that I lose. So I like that every single turn, everyone is constantly engaged. It's pretty simple to make sure that everyone is always having fun. You've also got then the collectible card nature of it, and it's not a collectible game, but the style where you've got your basic and your, I forget the terminology, but up to legendary cards, where you can only play one of those in any given conflict. So legendary, epic, rare, or common. So all of the different cards have a certain strength, I guess, and that just makes it a little bit more interesting and obviously open to expansion down the track.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty much everything we've got to say about it, apart from that we liked it.
Yeah, look, I think we had fun, and I would certainly say, look, have a look at Kickstarter. As you said, it's not for everyone.
No.
But if you like this sort of chaos and fun in your games, in a gorgeous-looking game, I'd say it's absolutely worth a look.
Yeah, and, you know, the elevator pitch, King of Tokyo, smash up Magic the Gathering for multiple people. I mean, you can't go wrong, can you?
Correct, and look, looking at the preview of the Kickstarter page, he's going for a very modest target, which I think is a very wise move. The game is also seemingly really well priced. Don't want to talk about it yet because who knows, he's in charge of that. Yeah. The price could go up, down or sideways. Week to go, and then it's all live, and no doubt we'll mention it on a Kickstarter update. That's all I got to say.
Yes, Dice Man stamp of approval, which will be on, obviously, the cards that he designs for us that puts in the game.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
All right, we'll be back after this.
Well, that was the Embers a Tassie Act with Mission. You're with the Dice Man Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. I think that sounded exactly like he sang that particular song.
Really?
Well, no one will ever know because Leon will cut it out.
Yep.
And on that, Mark.
I'm here on a mission to give you all the latest news in the board game world. Now, firstly, shout out to Geekcroft Gamers.
Oh, yes.
Who I think are a gaming group. I'm going to guess they probably play in Beecroft, maybe, in Sydney.
Would make sense.
But they gave me a tip today via Twitter that the board game website, online store Games Paradise, has a new webpage. When you go there, it says, our new site is coming soon.
Just tell me when I'm allowed to yell the word scam.
You're a free man in a free country,
well,
Leon.
Look, we'll wait and see, I guess, because it does say
Leon's
it's coming
not going
in,
to wait and see, I think.
It's coming in March 2018, and they're going to be offering same-day dispatch, large real-time inventory, and responsive customer service.
Well, if the new owners want to get in touch with us via email or even come on the show, we'd be more than happy to talk to them, because Games Paradise has a bit of a, let's say, reputation, and just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Just to be polite, because the new owners, they may be actual humans.
We'll wait and see anyway.
Yeah. I've never had an interaction with them.
Yeah.
Now, back on the exciting news, there's a game coming out. Let me give you the elevator pitch, Leon.
Ooh, I like an elevator pitch.
Descent.
Yep, I'm with you.
In Harry Potter world.
Ooh.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I like those things.
So Spanishness.
I always eat some Spanish.
Well, I can't play it if it's in Spanish for a start, especially if it's in Splanglish.
Spanish miniatures company Knight Models, who've produced a couple of miniatures-type games before, have announced they're releasing the Harry Potter Miniatures Adventure game on Kickstarter on March 14th. Basically, it's going to have big 35mm, very detailed miniatures moving around in all your familiar Harry Potter locations. So Hogwarts and the Forbidden Forest and the Chamber of Secrets. And you're going to resolve challenges and quests as you explore the different environments equipped with potions, artifacts, and spells like Expelliarmus!
And the other one.
Expelliarmus!
Oh, gross.
And they have the IP for this, presumably.
Apparently. Okay. So, yes, so very much described as a dungeon crawl in the Harry Potter world. I reckon that's going to be really interesting. I've been playing the Harry Potter deck building game.
Oh, the Hogwarts battle. Well, look, I think that'd be cool, and I'd be very curious to see how they handle the room in Hogwarts where all the stairs constantly move. That could be an interesting take on a bit of
tiles and stuff.
Dungeon crawly thing.
Okay, well, keep an eye out for that one. Now, Czech Game Editions have warned that there is a proliferation of counterfeit copies of Codenames.
Oh, no.
All over the internet. A lot of them being sold on websites like eBay. And they've basically asked for people to be very wary of super, super cheap versions of Codenames. That's your first tip, that it may not be the real one. Or that if it says it's manufactured in China, you may not have known that Codenames is actually manufactured in the Czech Republic.
Oh, is that because it's a Czech Games edition?
Correct.
Gotcha.
So keep an eye out for that. And, of course, you know, this can only lead to the erosion of our hobby if these knockoffs get in there, poor quality. And, of course, I mean, it's hard enough for companies to make a buck now selling games, let alone having their market share being eroded by knockoffs.
I once bought a copy of Lost Cities off eBay, got to the front door, and was like, oh, yeah, this isn't real. This isn't legit at all. But then I looked on eBay and looked at it and went, oh, nearly every copy of this game on eBay is not that. But then again, if a game's out of print for a while and it could cost next to nothing to design and knock up, it's probably going to happen,
well,
sadly.
Well, I'm pretty sure when I was in Hong Kong one time, I bought a counterfeit copy of Bang. Not the dice game, but the card game. And this was before I was really into gaming too much.
So you got a dodgy Bang in where?
Correct.
In Thailand. Okay.
Hong
Kong, thank you very much.
Oh, sorry. That makes it much better.
Let's move on. So two gaming behemoths, Steve Jackson Games and IDW Games, are teaming up with Nickelodeon. What do you think they're going to give us, Leon?
Surely the Dexter's Laboratory RPG.
No, but close.
The cartoon series.
Munchkin Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
Crickets.
Next.
And probably the most interesting thing in this about for me was IDW and Steve Jackson, they're not short of cash. This is going to be launched on Kickstarter March the 7th.
Yeah. Between them and then DC with the Batman game and then Harry Potter. I mean, someone like J.K. Rowling, she can literally get her church change out and fund the entire game.
Well, they're going to have a deluxe and a deluxe ultimate edition, which one of them is going to have the sort of standard cartoony art. Another one's going to have the old school retro art. Look, there's a lot of fans of TMNT out there. Do we need more Munchkin? I mean, I've long said we're past peak in Munchkin, but clearly we're not.
No, I think we are definitely not.
And speaking... Garth.
But you go to conventions like PAX,
yep,
and there are a million copies of Catan out there, but there are just as many people out there playing Munchkin.
Yeah.
So people love it.
And speaking of card games we've probably had more than enough of... Looney Labs.
Oh, good.
They're partnering up with Game Force 9 to release two new Flux games, because we've not got enough of those, featuring content from Star Trek, the original series, and Star Trek Next Generation. This one's not coming out till August, and Kickstarter hasn't been mentioned, thank goodness. But they're going to have the licensing from CBS, the broadcasting, so they're going to have the imagery from the TV shows. I'm a Star Trek fan.
That could be a thing.
You should buy it.
Maybe.
Do you reckon all these companies are teaming up in a sort of strength in numbers because they're all terrified of Asmodee? Just like, we team up with these other companies and maybe we can survive it.
And look, a lot of news coming out is ahead of the New York Toy Fair.
Yeah.
And also Gamma coming up later on. And we've got a new expansion, a new standalone expansion to one of... not my favourite games, but a game I quite like, the DC deck-building game with the Rebirth set, which, as I said, is a standalone. Now, Leon, what does Rebirth mean in the DC universe? Do you know?
Oh, well, they had the new 52, and now they've done Rebirth, which is kind of like the new 52.
Okay, so that's what it is. And they're going to have 8 Mighty Meeples wooden figures. They've never had those in a DC deck builder before.
Hmm.
I do not know what they're going to do. They're also going to bring out another Crisis expansion.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's 3 of those already for the Teen Titans.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Which is some more stuff. So, look, I love me some DC deck builder. I knew I was going to go astray with that one. We'll see where that one comes. And then also ahead of the New York Toy Fair, Cryptozoic. All these people with all these licensed properties, they are going to be releasing not one, not two, but three games based in the Rick and Morty universe.
They'd be stupid not to.
I can't wait for one of them to be good one of these days.
Well, there's already quite a few Rick and Morty games out there, but they're going to have the Rick and Morty, The Ricks Must Be Crazy, which is described as an engine-building and multiverse-exploiting game where players take on the role of Rick, Morty, Zeep and Kyle to introduce the power-making technology into the worlds they've created.
Okay.
And it takes place in the four verses created in the episode The Ricks Must Be Crazy.
Yeah.
And then you've got Rick and Morty, the Pickle Rick game. Because, of course, you just can't get enough Pickle Rick. It's a two-player game based on that episode, of course, where one player is Pickle Rick trying to escape a heavily armed compound, while the other player is the Russians and Jaguar trying to stop him.
Are they going to do pickup Ricks?
I do not know anything about this, but the game box looks like a pickle. And then finally, there's Rick and Morty, the Rick Shank Redemption deck building game.
I love it!
Which is a sequel to Rick and Morty Close Rick Counters of the Rick Kind, which is also a deck building game.
I'm sure it's really good, but it just all sounds awful.
So it's so funny because that show is basically genius, but it is the subtext to all the episodes of that show is that the creator, Dan Harmon, is a very emotional man that has gone through some hell and depression in like the last few years, and that's what all the show is about in the deep meaningful, but it's just become the biggest bro show in the world as well, and merchandising through the roof. It's just the oddest conundrum of things.
Well, Garth.
Yep.
I've got something that's going to make you happy here.
Wonderful.
Because speaking of sequels and games in a line, Happy Salmon.
Oh, yes, okay.
So North Star Games, because of the success of Happy Salmon, they're releasing a whole new line called Happy Planet.
Great.
Okay. It's going to raise the happiness of everyone playing. So Dominic Crapuchet says from North Star, the first of them is going to be Funky Chicken, which calls on players to make up funky dance moves, in course, including the Funky Chicken, and it's compatible with Happy Salmon.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
Who knows what's going to happen then? And then it's going to come in a chicken-shaped bag, just like Happy Salmon.
I do like the salmon comes in a Happy Salmon bag. That's awesome.
A chicken-shaped bag. That's right. And Monster Match will be packaged in a cute monster-shaped bag. That gives them a lot of variability.
Yeah.
Players are trying to catch donut-eating monsters by finding the match rolled on monster dice, but catching the wrong monster will cost you your donut.
That sounds amazing.
Yep.
But hey, look, Happy Salmon. I love a quick slap of Happy Salmon.
Is that coming out at the Toy Fair as well?
Yes, in the New York Toy Fair. So keep an eye on that.
It screams mainstream appeal. All the Rick and Morty garbage, all of those things. Yep. They will fit on toy shelves all over the USA.
And look, one last thing I wanted to mention, just because I saw a very interesting table of numbers, and I love tables and I love numbers.
You do.
Top 10 tabletop game Kickstarter projects.
Okay.
Now, of course, number one is Kingdom Death Monster.
So is this all time or is this...
This is up until February the 7th.
Okay, it's very current.
Yes, of course, I've got the latest news, Garth.
I'm glad I'm listening.
And it's really about one that's jumped in here.
Okay.
Just recently. So Kingdom Death Monster, over 12 million.
Yeah.
Exploding Kittens, 8.7 million. The Seventh Continent, What Goes Up Must Come Down. So the second round of the Seventh Continent, 7 million. Dark Souls, just under 5.5 million. Zombicide Green Horde, 5 million. Nemesis by Awakened Realms that I've backed.
And haven't pulled out of?
No, I stuck in.
That's good.
4.3 million. So it's become the number six highest raising board game. Rising Sun, which you guys got to play, and yes. I can't wait to hear you talk about that.
Don't bloody bring up Rising
Sun. Okay.
I still haven't got my goddamn copy.
Oh, really?
And if Simon won't reply to my goddamn emails, which apparently is a goddamn trend at the moment from what I'm seeing of other people. I'm going to have to do a whole segment, or maybe a whole show once, about Leon's Kickstarter experience of frustration. Because several different companies, they want to take my money. They just don't want to give me stuff.
I just don't think post people and couriers can go to your part of the town without getting shot.
I live in a better place than you do, you scumbag.
Anyway, we should talk about Rising Sun.
Yeah.
Do you want it? Well, number eight, no. Zombicide Black Plague. So there's two Zombicides in there. Number nine, a little game called Gloomhaven. Mm-hmm. And 10, Massive Darkness.
Okay. Remember when Gloomhaven used to be a thing? So long ago.
It'll still be a thing, don't worry. Well, look, I mean, not surprisingly, they are all minis fests, with the exception of Exploding Kittens, really.
Oh, and the Seventh Continent.
There's minis in there.
Yeah, but it's not a fest, is it? No, it's more of a gathering.
And, you know, you can't...
social.
Gloomhaven is a monster fest, but certainly not a mini fest.
Shindy,
basically all the ones that are mini fests, you've got... Massive Darkness's Seamon, Zombicide Seamon, the other Zombicide Seamon, Rising Sun Seamon.
Come on.
Kingdom Death obviously is done by Kingdom Death.
Yeah.
Hey, that is...
We should probably talk to someone that's played Kingdom Death at some point.
I think what we should do is just do a miniatures Kickstarter of the Dice Men.
That, you know, that is about...
We make like $25 million.
I think I've just added that up. It's something like 55, 56... $1 million spent on 10 different board games.
Tiny little bits of plastic.
You hear that, Mum? I told you this was real.
Anyway, that's all the news that I've got for today.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. That was wonderful. We are going to throw to a song, and then we will come back, and I'll get a chance to tell you about my trip to Brisbane. But thanks, Area 52, for supporting us. Thanks, Edge Radio, for playing us, and we will be back in a moment. Hell is happy. Well, that was the Ocean Party with Quality Control. Australian band. Now, Leon.
Hello.
You would like to tell our lovely listeners about how they can win...
Yes.
...a prize.
Basically, if you want to go to one of the coolest conventions in all of Australia, which is BorderCon, have we mentioned it before? We may have mentioned it.
We have, but we have called it...
Yes, exactly. Well, there's a hot ticket for that in the fact that it's hard to get a ticket, but we have some that we would happily not give away. You've got to put in a little bit of effort first. But we want to do this because we want you to come because we're going to be there and we would like to play some games with you. So what you need to do to enter this competition is to send us an email or something on Instagrams or the Twatters, or a message on the Facebooks to tell us what game you would like to play with the Dice Men and why.
Mm.
We've already had several entries that have been really, really cool, and we want some more. This competition is going to go for at least another 2-3 weeks or so.
Correct.
So you'll be able to get your travel plans all together. So, yeah, that's what we're looking for. So you've got thedicemencometh@gmail.com. You've got whatever our Twitter is.
At DiceMenCometh.
Yep. We've got our Facebook, which is Facebook/DiceMenCometh. And Instagram
we are DiceMenCometh.
DiceMenCometh. It's almost like we've figured this all out.
Consistency is a thing in marketing.
Yes, yes, yes.
We've
also
got our website, which is DiceMenCometh.com, which you can probably click on somehow.
Feel free to use all those methods, but to be honest, the Gmail and the Facebook messages are the ones that we probably look at the most because we're just that kind of nerd.
And the great thing is we have got pictorial entries.
Yeah.
We've got some video entries already, so it's not just... I want to play a game with the Dice Men because Garth's sexy.
Yeah.
It is someone actually putting that out there on video.
Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome.
And based off our 200th episode with all the lovely words from all the designers and friends of the show, send us a voice message as well. There's nothing wrong with that. Everyone's got a recorder on their phone now. Just say, we would like to play with the Dice Men. We'd like to play this game because they're great and we love them. And that's good. We like to hear that.
So we have two tickets to give away.
Yes.
So we're very lucky to have two tickets to give away to an otherwise sold out event where 200 of our friends and gamers from all over the country come along and spend 4 days of gaming in Albury over the Queen's Birthday long weekend. I don't know the dates off the top of my head, but they're the Friday, the Saturday, the Sunday and the Monday of the Queen's Birthday long weekend, which is usually around about 8, 9, 10, 11,
something like that.
I can tell you it is going to be the 8th to the 11th of June.
There you go. And we will be there and be square.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
if you want
Garth.
Hello.
Garth, now you have been off travelling again.
I have.
But not for work, or it was a bit for work, I think, but you managed to mix a little bit of, much like Barnaby Joyce, a bit of work and pleasure all in the same place.
I didn't go full Barnaby, it must be said. So,
you went off to Bris Vegas.
I did. So, yes, I had to go up there for a couple of days of meetings and bits and pieces for work, but the joy of Hobart and Brisbane not being remarkably well connected is that I had to fly up the day before all of this work-related stuff. So I had a night
I had a night free, and I sent a little text message up to some people I know in Brisbane saying, hey, Garth's going to be up there. Do you want to catch up and play some games? And I sent a message to Alan Chang from Rule and Make.
You're a name dropper.
Al Kearney. So, you know, I know that the Al's there. And I went, I'll just see if they're free. I'd love to catch up with them. I haven't seen them for a while.
Mm-hmm.
This was on the walk into work last week sometime. And then within half an hour or so, Alan Chang replies back saying, yep, should be good. Da da da, make it happen. And the scene was set for 6:30 on Monday night, where we got to play at Vault Games. Now, Vault Games is the local game store right in the CBD of Brisbane.
Yep.
It is run and owned by Dylan Shearer, who is part of the team of Table Tyrant Games.
Yeah.
Who, first of all,
Winterforge.
First of all, did Tavern Fame?
Yes, that's right.
And then gone on to Smiths of Winterforge, which.
It's about to be delivered
soon.
Must
be getting close. It's out on Tabletopia, actually, if you want to go and have a look at the... I don't think it's really second edition components, but it's the first edition that got successfully funded on Kickstarter. So we went there, but it wasn't just Al Kearney. It wasn't just Alan Chang, and it also wasn't... Is it Barantis?
Yeah, Barantis, who's the Hand of Fate
and a few other games. But it was also this little unknown gamer, formerly of England... Moved to New Zealand, now calls Australia home, by the name of one Martin Wallace.
And how many seconds after you heard he was going to be there did you message us to rub it in our face?
Well, I think I took a screenshot of the message saying, he's going to be there. And I just sent it out there in the world going, because I got to meet Martin Wallace.
Yeah.
Well, Garth, you
touched him, I saw the photo.
I did.
You forget, Garth, that Trent and I... At the very first PAX we went to, PAX 2014, hosted a panel where we featured Mark Morrison from Campaign Coins and a longtime writer of the Cthulhu RPG and one Wallace dot dot Martin.
Yeah, he said he couldn't remember that, so I don't think it counted.
Sure. Well, I'm sure I'll get to meet him when me and him are on the same side of the great board game debate at PAX this year. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's going to be me.
Well, I think he'll be at Essen like everyone else.
So you met Martin Wallace.
So we met Martin Wallace, met his partner, and met the Rule and Make team there as well. So over burgers and beers and then over a games table, we were able to just shoot the crap about everything board gaming. Now Martin obviously has a pretty extensive catalogue of games and a huge history in the board gaming hobby. So it was wonderful to sit there and hear a lot of the stories about what it's like to be a top-tier board game designer and the fact that it's bloody hard work. It is a full-time job.
There's not many of them do it full-time for that exact reason, because it is very, very hard to survive.
Correct. And similar to when we mentioned Imhotep a little while ago, Phil Walker Harding game, where it had been sitting in the shelves collecting dust of a publisher for half a dozen years. That's just how it is. It's not a thing where a designer goes, here's my newest baby, the creation that I think is going to be fantastic. There it is, publisher, make it happen. And then it just happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just sit there collecting dust until the time or the market or the theme is in vogue or whatever it is. Other times they go, hi, designer, hi, publisher, I've got a game. My name's Martin Wallace. And they go, hey, we'll take it. And it's out there in the public space in a heartbeat. And then he's also obviously had a lot of different relationships with different publishers.
Yeah.
And obviously
his own company.
And now obviously what's happening with Australia, which is not too far away from being released on Kickstarter. Again, he's got another sort of chapter of his career. So we talked about all aspects of the board gaming sphere, some of which we can talk about, some of which was confined to that particular dining room table. But one thing I can say is after we had some dinner, we went back to Vault Games, sat down at the table, and we were then allowed to play one of his new prototype games, which he is in discussions to put out with Rule and Make.
Ah.
So there's
upcoming news about that. Certainly can't talk about what the game is at all because, again, who knows what it'll actually end up being at that. But there are discussions that are going on there between those two respective parties, which is brilliant.
Well, the great thing about Martin is, obviously, I met him at PAX, but he's been there a couple of times. He always has about, I'd say, at least three prototypes that he's more than happy to throw down on the table. Obviously, you know, depending on where they're at. But every time I've seen him, he's throwing down prototypes, showing people his games. Just, you know, Joe Blow's walking up. Oh, I love Martin Wallace games. Here, sit down and play this with me. Very first time I saw him at PAX, he pulled out, it was a ships game, and I don't know if it's been published or what, but he was running people through that all day, like such a selfless guy.
Well, he did mention his CanCon was basically from sunup to sundown, just doing playtesting over and over again and getting random people around the table to just test these games, and he was just taking copious notes. So it just shows you that we're not smart enough to be designers and we're certainly not committed enough to do it. So it's an amazing ability to have to be that full-time game designer. So, Martin, lovely to meet you. He did listen to episode 200, and he did listen to our discussion on Australia. So he didn't punch me, so he must have thought it was okay. That was nice. And look, it's just great to meet another designer who calls Australia home. So we're very lucky as a community to have someone of his caliber there. And living in the same state and city as Peter Hawes, that's a pretty awesome duo there.
And the Rule and Make team and Table Tire. I mean, quite a few times I know we've had a number of games at the same time coming out on Kickstarter from Brisbane. So I don't know if we can call it the gaming capital of Australia, but they've got a red-hot show at it.
Yeah, why is Brisbane the place? Don't they realise it's hot outside most of the time?
That's why they have to spend all the time inside playing games.
Oh, yeah, fair point.
That's why we have to spend all the time inside playing games, because it's so cold here.
So it was great that Vault Games are licensed, so you could have a cold beer there while you were playing a game. So
icy beverages.
It was very, very nice. So that was all my little weekend away to Brisbane. Played some games with a couple of icons in the Australian tabletop scene, as Rule and Make's photo certainly said about Martin Wallace and myself.
Yes, yes, yes. We saw that one. Yes. Don't worry.
Icon in your own photo.
Now, look, we've almost run out of time, but what I wanted to remind people, and I did post on Facebook, that the nominations for the 2017 Golden Geek Awards on Board Game Geek, if you remember, there are out, and you can go if you're a BGG member, and I think you have to have purchased an avatar or a supporter badge or something. So you just can't join up and as a shill make heaps and heaps of accounts so you can nominate your thing.
That's a shame.
But I'm sure I've given all you guys plenty of geek gold so you could get avatars and things.
Probably.
Is that why you keep doing that?
Yeah, that's right. So you can go on there and you can nominate all the different board game categories they have. And one of them is for the Board Game Podcast of the Year. And look, we'd love it if you think this show's okay.
Yeah.
Just okay.
Yeah.
And you're a member of Board Game Geek, jump on there and nominate your favourite board game podcast. You can nominate more than one.
Yeah, but you wouldn't. But you could. But you wouldn't. But you could. But you
wouldn't. And there's a link there on our Facebook page if you want to know about that. But apart from that, I think, guys, that's a wrap on episode 201.
Yes, it sure is. The issue is, what do we do? Because it looks like the computer has decided to crash.
Cool.
We'll worry about that.
So we assume people are hearing this, we don't know.
Finish the show. So we are out of here. We have been the Dice Men Cometh. It's been episode 201, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
This has been another episode of the Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, offering comics, books, card games, and board games for the whole family. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au. And find us online at thedicemencometh.com.